difference for this evening's reading, a desire that we would turn together to the Epistle of Paul to the Romans, chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And I'd like to begin with verse 31 to the end. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. May God bless our reading and let us. Dear ones, in the prayer, it was mentioned that at the cross is where the full display of God's love, his mercy, his truth was shown. At the cross is where he showed us his love for us. And we sing the hymn, Hallelujah for the Cross. But what does the cross really mean to you and me? And what I mean by that is, how often do we go to the cross or really realize what is available to us through the cross? In verses prior to where we took up this reading, the Apostle Paul in verse 28 says, and we know that all things work together for good. All things. Everything that happens to you and me, everything. It says that they work together for good. To who? It says to those that love God. We know that Joseph, his brothers, when they sold him into Egypt, he tells them later, he says, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. God can take any circumstance that is taking place in your life and mine and fine-tune us, if I could use that expression, for his glory, everything. But you and I can only enter into that experience if we are at the cross, where the display of his love is seen, where we will receive pardon, where we will receive peace, where we will receive power, where we receive his promise. And dear, when we think of the promises of God, you know, when we enter into a covenant with God, we are entering into his promises that he made to you and to me. And when we think about the promises of God, those are promises that are immovable. But we have to enter into that experience at the cross in order to receive, to be beneficiary of his promises. And he says, if God is for us, then who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Okay, he didn't spare his own son, but he delivered him up for us all. Who? Everyone. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? If God gave his son, is there anything that he's going to hold back from us? Let's go back to Abraham, who was ready to deliver up his son Isaac. Is there anything that Abraham would not have given up for God when he gave up his son? He was willing to give up his son. But it tells us here, he spared not his own son, but he spared Isaac. He spared Isaac. God spared Isaac, but he didn't spare his own son. And so is there anything that the Creator, we read on Sunday of the creation and how Jesus spoke all things into existence. Colossians tells us that. Everything was created for him, by him, everything. And if all of these things are his, he gives us everything freely. What will he hold back from you and me that is for our good? Nothing. He gave us his son. And so Apostle Paul is closing out this chapter where in the prior chapters he speaks of sin and the need for salvation. And here in this chapter he talks of the spirit, the flesh, and in the opening verse he says, there is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There's no condemnation to those who do not walk after the flesh, but they walk after the Spirit. And so, and he says, we know that all things work together for good. For who? For those that love him. So the question for you and for me today is everything working out good for us? Even if we're sold into slavery in Egypt, God is still with me. If everyone turns against me, if the courts of this land accuse me and try me and find me guilty of treason or whatever they might call it, well, just as Stephen was tried by the court of this land and he was found guilty, and there's another court in heaven, and it showed Jesus at the right hand of God. That's what matters. What does that court find me? Everything worked out good for Stephen. He was stoned, but it all worked out good because there was another court in heaven above. And the accuser was there to accuse Stephen. He says, who can be against us if God is for us? He will freely give us all things. You know, at the close it says here, I am persuaded that neither death. And why does he, I shouldn't say this is the reason why, but he's putting death first. Death is something that every man has come to acknowledge and to fear in some way. Can death separate us? No. Can life, and you know, you and I don't fear life, but life can separate us from God. The life itself, meaning our exposure to life, living life, we can go the wrong way and be separated from God. But with our dependence, when our dependency is upon Him, our trust is in Him, when we love Him, everything works out good for those that love Him. To them who are called according to His purpose. And so, He says, I am persuaded death, life, we can live this life to a ripe old age. It's not going to separate us. Death won't separate us. Angels, principalities. You know, when we read of Apostle Paul speaking of principalities and powers, if we pause to think of the evil forces that are against you and me, I think we could kind of tremble at times when we think of the evil forces and how they are all aligned against us. And yet Paul says, there's no angels, no principalities, no powers, nor things present, nor things to come. And why? Because if we think about all these things, angels, principalities, powers, things that are present, what are all these things? We just heard on Sunday, those were all spoken into existence. Everything. Those are all created. Everything is created. Things that are present, things that are to come. Everything is coming by creation. Height, it's created. Depth, it's created. Any creature, it's created. Of course, those things can't separate us because they're all created things by the Creator, Jesus, who has given us all things freely. To those who love Him, everything will work out good. All these powers, all these principalities, all these depths and heights, everything will work out good to those that love Him. What will they do? Can they separate us from the love of God? From what? From the love of God, which was on full display on the cross, where Jesus shed His blood for you and me. In the book of Job, it tells us that He charges the angels with folly. He charges the angels with folly. They're created beings. Everything is created by God. There is nothing, brothers and sisters, and dear friends, that you and I should have fear of. If we truly understand that old rugged cross, and if we can truly sing with our hearts flaming in love, hallelujah, for that cross. That means you and I have entered into death and have risen by the power of the cross into new life. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who? You know, but if we don't know the cross, if we don't know Christ, who is it that will lay a charge on you, my dear friend? We know that the accuser, he will come and he has something to accuse you of. He has something. Who will accuse you? The question is, who will justify you? Who is he that will condemn you? You will condemn yourself. You condemn yourself because you rejected the cross. So, as you reject the cross of Jesus Christ, you condemn yourself. It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. We know that Joshua, the high priest, stands before God and it says Satan is there with him and he's accusing him. You know, it tells us that Joshua didn't speak at all. It's God who spoke. It's Jesus who spoke, the intercessor. And he says, I will give him garments that are clean and pure. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword? But who separates us from the love of Christ today? Who separates us from him? It is only our choice that you and I make every day. Am I aligning myself with the cross? Do I see the beauty? Do I see the splendor? Do I see the love of God in the cross? Am I attracted to the place that my Savior died for me? Am I going to go there? Or am I separating myself from that love today? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Brothers and sisters, these are experiences that you and I have to live today in order to have these promises. To enter into this promise, we have to be pardoned. We have to experience that peace. We have to receive that, through that pardon, that purity. By being pardoned and living in the power of the cross to experience that purity and live that life today. Or there is no intercessor for us because we've condemned ourselves. When you reject Jesus today, when he is not that beautiful to you today, my dear friend, you reject him today. You've committed You've committed a sin against the Holy Spirit of God. You've rejected Him. There's no one. There's no one that is standing next to you as Joshua the high priest had. When the accuser comes, he has everything to accuse you of. They're not false charges. They're for real. Brothers and sisters, do you and I have rebellion against God in our heart? Aimlessly going through this life, literally aimlessly, thinking we have a direction because we're rejecting the purity, the peace, the pardon, and the power that comes by the way of the cross. Taking this very lazily, what Jesus has done for me, and the display of truth, mercy, and love on the cross for you and me to enter into that relationship with Christ, my Lord, my King, my Savior, my Redeemer, my all. Who is He? Who is He to us, dear ones? I just really, when I read verse 32, dear ones, it opened up for me more than it ever has before when I'm seeing that God did not spare His Son, but He delivered Him up. And it says, for us all. And then He says, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? There can never be ever a point of any desperation in any of our lives, or feeling of woe or anything. He gave me His Son. He will give me everything I need. Everything will work out for good. All I need to do is love Him. Do I? Do you love Him? You cannot hate anybody if you love Him. You cannot have any quarrel with anyone if you love Him. You can pray for those that hate you and be assured that God loves you and you love God. Within your heart, you have no animosity, no hatred to those who hate you and persecute you. And Joseph tells his brothers, you meant it for evil. God meant it for good. And he kisses them and he weeps. We could say, well, those were his brothers. Brothers who hated him. Who didn't think it a big thing at all to sell him and lie to their father. You know, every day of our life, God is revealing to you and me who we are and how much we love Him. The question is, are we seeing those moments as they come to us? Because God is showing us, because He loves us, He wants to show, He knows how much we love Him. He wants to show you and me how much, so that we can see how much we love Him. Or dare I say it, how little we love Him. And so, dear ones, This chapter is extremely beautiful in the sense that it gives us so much courage and so on, but it's all for naught if we don't live. If we don't live in that purity and peace and power that the cross provides. It gave so much courage to the apostles and to those who followed Jesus, and through the years and the martyrs who faced death. And you know, we're living in times where we're so far separated from any persecution. At least those of you who are in this room who are my age and younger. There's still a few brothers who have experienced persecution, who know what that feels like to be persecuted by those who don't understand who God is. But they understood who he was and they loved him and were willing to die. And what is separating us from that love today? My prayer is that nothing is. My prayer is that we can read this chapter and leave here with such a with a glow within us, a peace that just resonates through us when we read of these words of Christ and who he is. And we read about the universe and its creation, and we know that hundreds of years ago the men who were of science of that day knew so little of what more we know today. But what does it do for us? We still know it's so limited of what we know of the universe and what God created. And God doesn't intend for us to know those things now. What he came to display and to show us, to reveal to you and me, so that you and I can know, is his love for you and me. That's found at the cross. That's where you and I can enter into that experience, into that love, and into that life that gives us liberty, that gives us joy, that gives us peace every day. No matter the circumstances, no matter the health, no matter the trial, no matter the persecution, no matter the sword, as we read, nothing can separate us, because everything is smaller than God. Everything is smaller than him. So there's nothing, when we enter into love and into covenant with God, nothing will separate us. May that, brothers and sisters, awaken within each one of us desire to truly know him as he intends us to know him. He wants to reveal himself, but he won't reveal himself to the heart that toys with sin. He reveals himself to those who love him. And in that revelation, dear ones, we experience all the things that are written here. And then there's nothing that can separate us. May he bless his word upon our hearts this evening. Amen.